Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference of ClearSail, where we'll discuss the results of the fourth quarter of 2023 and for the year 2023. All participants are connected as listeners. To make questions, just use the chat button located on the left-hand side of your screen, and will be used in the session later for questions and answer. The video of this is being transmitted simultaneously by the internet in webcast. The recording is available at the website of the company and the address IR ClearSail. The slides which will be used are also available in the investors relations site as well as on the site of the CVM. Before continuing, I would like to clarify that any declarations that may be made during the conference relative to the perspectives of business are provisions based on actual expectations of the administration, and these expectations are subject to changes due to macroeconomic conditions, risks in the market, and other factors. The future considerations are not guarantees of performance and involve risks, uncertainties, and premises which depend on future circumstances, which may or may not happen. As such, the general economic conditions in the industry and other operational factors may affect the results of the company and can bring to results which differ materially from those expressed in these considerations. With us today is Eduardo Monaco, CEO of ClearSail, Alexandre Mafa, CFO, and Renan, who is the Director of Relations with Investors. Initially, Monaco will talk about the strategic highlights of the company. And in the after that, Mafia will talk about the finances of the company. After this, both will be available together with Renan to answer any questions that you may have. Now, I'd like to pass the word to Eduardo Monaco. Monaco, please go ahead. Good morning, everyone. It's a great pleasure to receive you once again here in the conference of results of ClearSail. At this moment, we'd like to talk about the last quarter of 2023 and also have the opportunity to remember all that happened during our journey in the year 2023, which prepares us and positions us in a form that is quite solid for the year 2024. To remember 2023, we would like to point out that after that moment of challenging moment in which all the players passed in the market, ClearSail looked inside of its structure and started to make diverse changes in processes and plans. The first of that we call the balancing plan, the equilibrium plan, an adjustment in variable costs, and make sure that the company was more healthy in its gross margin. But we also continued the work, a very intense work that we've done in our technological environment of components, the componentization of our structures, the development and improvement of many of our products, and the capacity to combine these components in a way that would be different and that would make us than what we had done up until that point. Beyond that, we did the same with the international group. And I like to remember that we started the year with an important cash burn. And during the year, we were able to improve greatly the margin of this business that we have. We also made reported to you our reorganization, internal reorganization, an organization which seeks to have a company much more efficient, focused on simplicity, on generation of value for our clients. Today, this entire process seeks to generate benefits, very tangible benefits for those, as you have seen, in a consistent way in our results. First of all, a diversification of our business. We are in a company that has historically has had a large concentration in large players in e-commerce and in several financial products. Starting from this journey, we have deconcentrated our business and sought out solutions, more efficient solutions in various segments. It's also true that we have sought out a very strong deleveraging of the company. And based on everything that we have done, we are now able to grow without having the need of having an increase in the number of employees. Beyond that, the new products and new components, respecting the dynamic of our business, have much more scale and are much more profitable than what we've had up until this time, expanding significantly the size of the addressable market that in which ClearSail operates. During this scenario, and looking at our planning for 2024, we've decided to declare to the market something which we have done over this entire journey, this entire trajectory, starting from our differences of data, the network effect, which is not, never stops inside of ClearCell, and starting from a technological base, which is much more modern with many more options, and with a team of specialists and risk specialists who care for various environments and segments of risk for our clients for many years, we've decided to formalize to the market a strategy which we have worked on for some time. ClearCell, for many years ago, had a business model which was really focused on the complete management of its clients and basically just one product, which was very adherent to the e-commerce market and physical delivery. Now we declare that in this new strategy, we are going to be closer and closer to our clients, hearing and understanding the needs, their needs, and being able to understand and interpret clearly what are the incentives of our client to become partners and collaborate with our expertise, our fraud expertise, recognizing that the fraud is dynamic, changes, but can, starting with all of our technological park, help our clients to combine our components in the best possible way, delivering the best performance and the best generation of value in the best time and in the best way for our clients. This strategy helps us to expand greatly our addressable market, because in the same way that we have combined our technology with the e-commerce market, we can now do this for the market of delivery. We can do it for the market of tickets. We can do this also in this segment, the financial segment. We can also do this with onboarding. We can also do this with betting and other segments. This strategy and its focus, which is we have based on our organization, gives us a great deal of optimism for the year of 2024. I would now like to reinforce to you what are the priorities that we are looking at with this strategy of ClearCell for the year of 2024. A relevant part of what we built during this journey brings us to the place where we are able to look at the segment of the transactional segment and find ways forward evolve in that. In the BU, transactional BU, we have a portfolio of products, much more wide-ranging. We have diverse components in a large number of steps in the journey, and to understand profoundly the mentality and the segments of where we want to be, so we can combine our components for our clients. Today we have technological components which go from beginning to end to the entire decision-making process. It permits us to prioritize several segments for the coming year. Next year, we will address very clearly the segment of links, payment links, which has grown very quickly, very intensively in the market, and the segment of mobility, where we have important players in our portfolio, which has also grown a lot. Also interested in the segment of tickets, which has also grown expressively, and our focus on the middle retail in Latin. We believe there are important opportunities in countries such as Mexico, Colombia, and Argentina. Beyond that, we also hope to use all of our expertise to open a new market, which is the market of credit card issuers, which can count on solutions, ClearCell solutions, to help to make sure that the experience of their consumers is much better. Customer experience is better with much less fraud, and with fraud, controlled fraud within the BU of application fraud. Our focuses are the credit markets, and secondly, the financial market. Within our proposal, our value proposition, we believe that the application fraud, we have a complete portfolio, and that once we declare to be strategic partners of our clients, we're already doing helping that our base clients should demonstrate our flexibility and adaptability at the moment of each partner. If the partner is interested in efficiency, ClearCell is able to generate the components to generate greater efficiency at lower costs for him. If the partner wants to increase, we're also able to do that, to be able to grow through our knowledge. Our deep knowledge of fraud, our data, which is absolutely unique, and our technological park, which is quite advanced. We have a complete portfolio. We know fraud, and we're able to do that. You can see in this image the quantity of components, technology, and products that ClearCell has developed, all of them with the with the right proposition, which is very unique. And we are now have grown and sought out important sales in this segment. These products that bring us a margin, a much higher margin, and scalability, which is much higher. Finally, within this business unit of new ventures, our principal focus is in the market, PIX market. We all know that PIX is a payment means that will continue having gaining relevance. And we believe that the experience, customer experience and the control of fraud need to continue evolving in this ecosystem. For that reason, we have a transactional solution which will help the institutions to improve their processes within the means of payment that PIX gives. And beyond that, we are very interested in the market of buy now, pay later, or PIX in payments, payment plan, which is a tendency which should grow a lot during 2024. Since ClearShare has always been looking at sustainable growth in the long term, we also prioritize this year two important levers for the sustainability of the business going forward. First of all, our growth cycle, as we mentioned, we're very focused on making relevant sales this year. And we're looking at the position in ClearShare in the market, participating in events, participating with the principal players in this segment, and showing to all that ClearShare has products in a way that's more assertive, the most assertive possible way. Beyond that, we also have an enabler of this strategy, of our long-term strategy, technology, which continues advancing and modernizing in an efficient way and a relevant part of our investment during the year 2024. Before inviting Alexandre Maffa, our CFO, who will show in details our numbers, I wanted to point out that the results of this quarter is natural within the process of transformation that ClearSale has done. And looking at the challenges that we are having the courage to confront, the revision of our products of our clients, diversification of revenue, de-risking of players who have brought us to this spot with expressive growth, increase of our product portfolio, increase in margin, gross margin, and a company that is much more scalable and profitable so that we can plant this over the coming year. Thank you, Monaco. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. And now we're going to look at the financial results of the fourth quarter 2023, which reflects what Monaco mentioned about the strategies which are being implemented during the recent quarters. Starting with slide 15, operational indicator, churn. The company maintained in 2023 the indicator under control below 2%, which means that a theoretical lifetime of 54 years for our clients. Of course, excluding the effect of the closing of activity of part of our client, this churn would be lower than 1.4%. Below that, in clients, we closed the quarter with 7,421 active clients, 76% in transactional, the old e-commerce, and 20% in transactional, international transactional, and 4% in application fraud. Compared to the same period of last year, we had a net addition of 213 clients and of 85 clients compared to the previous quarter. Our RR in the sale of no new sales is 39.6 million in a quarter, a reduction of 48.5% in relation to the quarter that quarter of 22. As we mentioned, we're concentrating on clients with better components and better margins and better tickets. It's important to remember that our strategy of the cleaning of our base and in regions and channels that are more profitable. During the year, we had 189.9 million reais, a growth of 3.9% sustained by the application fraud area. Looking at the next slide, consolidated net revenue for the fourth quarter of 23 was 133.6 million reais, a reduction of 11.4% in relation to the fourth quarter of 22. But a growth of 12% in relation to the previous quarter. Looking at the accumulated in the period, we went from a revenue of 504 million, a reduction of 1.1% compared to the same period of the previous year. In the fourth quarter of 23, the revenue of transactional in Brazil reached 883 million here, as a fall of 8.8%, explained by the process of componentization and repositioning our solutions tendencies of GMP, and a reduction of our revenue from large retailers. The revenue from the big marketplaces benefited by the effect of the World Cup in the previous year, fell by 42.4%. And then in the fourth quarter, and other clients with the growth was 8.7%. With that, we have a transitory process of pressured revenue with the effects of important revenues from large retailers falling. On the other side, we've increased our exposure to segments that are different in economic cycles, making our revenue more resilient in the long term. In 2023, our growth was 1.9%, reaching 310 million, which was a fall of 22.6% in these same marketplaces, and a relevant growth of 17.7% in other clients. In the international transactional, the revenue reached 19.1 million for the fourth quarter, an annual fall of 8.4% in reais and 2.9% in dollars. The annual fall is explained by the exchange rate variation and the cleaning of our base into more profitable clients. For the year, the revenue totaled 71.9, a growth of 8.4% and 12.1% in dollars. In application fraud, the revenue of 31.3 million reais in the fourth quarter, a growth of 5.8%, and an annual of 19.3%. The annual fall is explained by the repositioning of solutions with bigger margins and detriment to the area of revenue, and by the restriction of credit in the market. It's important to note that the effect of componentization reflects the annual growth of 30% in the fourth quarter of 23. For the year, the revenue totaled 122 million, a fall of 12.2% in relation to 22. Going to slide 17, costs and recurring expenses. In this slide, we bring a vision of evolution of costs and expenses over the year, where it's possible to observe the capture of benefits of restructuring. The costs and recurring costs accumulated for the year had a reduction of 35.4 million or 6.5% compared to the same period of the previous year. It's worth remembering that we have provisioned PLR in 2023, while in the previous year we had a reversion. So putting these results on the same base of PLR for comparison, the reduction would be of 57.9 million or 10.6%. In the quarter, the costs and expenses, recurring expenses, reached 117 million reais, a fall of 13.8% compared to the fourth quarter of 22 and 5.1% quarter on quarter. Making the same comparison and removing PLR from the calculation, the costs and expenses for the last quarter would be 11.7 million, a fall in relation to the previous year of 18.2%. Looking at slide 18, gross profit. As a result of everything that we've mentioned, we reached a gross margin of 51.3% in Brazil and 33.5% internationally, consolidating a gross margin of 48.8% in the fourth quarter of 23. It's worth remembering that we've had some costs reallocated to costs, and we also had the PLR. Or in other words, as a comparative effect with the year of 22, our gross margin would be 52.8%. Excluding these numbers in the accumulated for the year, our gross profit reached 209.5 million reais, an increase of 8 million reais, representing a margin of 41.6% and an annual increase of 2%. Excluding the effect of the provision for PLR and effects of the for comparability, our gross profit would be 20.5 million for 2023. The EBITDA margin in Brazil reached 16.4% in Brazil, while internationally it reached negative 12%, an increase of 54.1% on the consolidated. The consolidated for the quarter, the EBITDA margin, recurring margin of 12.1%, an increase, an improvement of 2.5% compared to the quarter, to the same quarter in 22. For the year, our EBITDA is 1.8 million, an improvement of 30 million compared to the same period of the previous year, resulting in an EBITDA margin, slightly negative margin of 0.4%. excluding the impact of the provisioning for PLR, the EBIT would be 52.3 million. And in 23, we have the same comparability with the year with 2022. Looking at the slide for cash flow, investment and debt, we have a 11.3 million in the fourth quarter of 23 and 44.4 million for the year. Below in the cash flow, investment cash flow, excluding the impacts of the previous year, we reduced investments on the order of 18 million in 23, maintaining the diligence in the development and not without leaving off to investments in sustainability. It's worth mentioning that the restructuring, strategic restructuring, also had a retraction of 2 million in CapEx in the fourth quarter of 23. In the upper right-hand corner, we closed the year with a gross debt of 25.1 million, with amortization of 11.4 million in the fourth quarter of 23. Finally, we finalized the fourth quarter of 23 with a cash balance of 394 million reais, or 353 million reais, discounting the net debt and leasing, an expressive reduction in the cash burn compared to the same quarter in the previous year. I'd like to call Monaco for his final comments. Thank you, Mafra. Before opening for questions and answers, I wanted to make a quick recap of all that we mentioned. First, we declare a new positioning for ClearSale, which is the fruit of a work which has been built over many years or a long time, and which has brought much more great deal of technology, more products, diversification, deleveraging, scalability, and profitability to the company. Looking at the future, we have already this year a very challenging year ahead of us, due to all the factors that I mentioned, but we also demonstrated the evolution of gross margin and EBITDA margin, a company that is much more better structured, much more agile, and with processes much more clear so that we can adapt to the challenges of each segment of the market in which we operate. And we have seen important evolutions in the numbers of generation of cash, our numbers for EBITDA, and our numbers of gross margin. We know that the growth in revenue is a challenge for this moment that we are living in, but in a way that is expected and natural, we understand that this is a necessary movement so that we can build a 2024 much more solid with a company which will continue to be concerned with the generation of cash and look greatly at the sale of new products and new components with better margins so that we can have in the next quarters better improvements from the point of view of growth and profitability. Thank you all very much. And now I'd like to invite Felipe to help us with the questions and answers session. Thank you, Edu. So this is it. We're going to start now our questions and answers for investors and analysts. As we always say, while on your screen, in the lower left-hand screen, you just click there and put your questions, preferably putting your name, full name, and the company that you represent. We have a question here from Abi Yuri, which is an individual investor. Look, can you give me the example of risks associated with picks that you can mitigate, and how would you explain that? Good morning. Thank you for the question. Today, we're investing a great deal in the PICS area. It's one of our strategic priorities. PICS, from the standpoint of technology, helps a lot the consumer as a payment means, which includes digitally and banked a large part of the population, brought them into the banking system. However, we know when there was a new payment means, it's natural that fraud migrates to these new processes. So there is a determined amount of fraud. However, a large part of the risk is with the final user. So if we, for example, enter into a link, a malicious link, and make a purchase and pay with PIX, the PIX has the mechanisms for returning that, which are evolving, but which are still not adequate for the general population who has this difficulty in making that return of that money. Here's a solution. Once again, we're using our entire technology system to help the client. So we have a PIX solution, which looks at the transactional of the PIX and detects standards if it's natural for Eduardo to make a transaction with that person at that net amount, then we identify that that probability of this transaction being being a correct transaction is good. And on the contrary, if it's very outside of the standard, we look at the institution, we give the institutions, the finance institution, the tools to identify these new processes to bring the friction only when necessary, bring friction only when necessary to the process. We combine components to attend a market that is so big as this in the PIX, as the PIX market is. Using our biometry to take care of the transactional part. And beyond that, our solutions for cybersecurity helps to identify these malicious links, barring this transaction, which does not have the correct final result for the consumer. Our technology they can identify the owner of the pain points of the process for each player and adjust our modules for each scenario. And that's what we're doing. And another thing that we're bringing a lot to our clients in relation to PIX is the idea of reducing the amount of friction. For example, normally when I want to make a PIX to my wife or a transfer to her, I want to do this in the middle of the night or at midnight, or in general, my bank will block it and say that I can only do that PIX. There's a limit of value, which is a good solution. But for my wife, I could do it because she's my wife. Is a person related to me, and for various signals that we have that it's fine to make these transfers. So for the experience for the consumer, this process, the PIX process, is fundamental for the user experience. Continuing with Yuri's question, it seems there is still space for reducing expenses and improving EBITDA margin for a technology company. Is this still underway? Thank you for the question. It's Alexandre Mafra falando. I think we're in the process. The company we're a company of revenue. So our revenue has a component of use of our solutions, which is very strong. So we understand that over this time, with the Equilibrium project and the restructuring that we've done, that we have already cleaned a good part of the major expenses and costs and the major restructuring that we could do. I believe that your provocation is very important, because any technology company, there is a way to improve this as we cut costs. But don't expect a gigantic reduction to the size of what we've done in the past, because the company has changed the level of technology and of science, and has changed in the use of our solutions. So we're going to have, yes, as an obligation to continue seeking improvements. It's going to come, but we understand that this company has a scalability which is very different. It grows revenue without growing costs. So this is a challenge that we're banking for the future. And also, along with your EBITDA question, if we expect an EBITDA, the evolution of EBITDA, the continuity of this, greatly due to Mafra's comment. We hope to go back to the cycle of growth in the next quarters without the necessity of increasing our structural costs or expenses and rationalizing our investment. Because technology companies also have to continue investing so that our products can continue going forward in technology. Thank you all. Remembering, if you want to send a question, please use the Q&A button on your screen, and we'll receive your question here. We're going to go to the question of Lorenzo. He's also an individual investor. Looking at the company, what's the potential of the betting market? We experimented this market. It's a market which is being transformed. It has regulations which are more and more being built, more and more in design, so that we can have diverse processes within the dynamic of betting, with the onboarding, the know your customer, to make certain who is that person who's going into this betting segment, having certainty that this person has the right age to be able to bet, that makes sure that that person is not doing an abuse of accounts, creating various accounts on the same app to do games with the same profile. So of Clear Sales, the information has a great deal of credibility and products that are very inherent to that segment. There's also the question of the transaction itself. There is a concern with the transfer of money. So there's a number of parts of that process in a segment which previously had a level of regulation, had smaller, a lower level than it has now. But with the regulations that they have now, we believe that we have everything to have the best, most adherent products in this segment. I've spoken with various companies. It's a billionaire. It's a segment that we, a billions dollar segment. We talk about this amount of money that circulates in that segment. And we're very excited entering in this segment. However, today our penetration, which as the penetration of all, is still finding the best product to enter this segment. However, we've worked with the team focused on that, participating in these events, participating in this process to grow. So it's a large market. We don't normally say exactly our expectation for the growth of each market. However, just look at the market, at the news, and you'll see that it's a big market and that we believe that we have conditions to gain, to win in that market. We also have the next question from Gabriel, also an individual investor. ClearSell have an expectation of looking at his, defending his product. We did the acquisition a year and a half ago of a company in the U.S. called Chargeback Ups, which is a company which is specialized in disputing chargebacks. The retailer receives a chargeback from a client. However, this was not correct. It wasn't fraud. It was a process where he didn't get into a fight with the retailer, and it wasn't really a chargeback. So he wants to argue that with the credit card companies. ClearSell bought this company, specialized in this, and has developed a product, a solution, which will help in this in these disputes. Beyond that, chargeback as a whole is one of the segments of great deal of interest in us so that we can complete the complete journey of the entire ecosystem of fraud. And we also have several projects such as trying to prevent open chargebacks. We're interested together with our partner where we make available to use this information so that they make this compensation won't even be open. So resolve the problem and have symmetry in the information. Look at a purchase. But I didn't make this purchase. And the product will go together with the information to be able to contest that information more specifically. I bought a network. I didn't buy it. I didn't buy a mouse. I didn't buy it. And the client can say, wow, it's true. I did buy it. Actually, I forgot. But I had forgotten about it. So this is for this chargeback to be open. It's important for all the challenges and losses in the chain overall. Yes, we're growing more and more, seeing them enter into the chargeback, whether it be in the disputes or the no opening of these chargebacks. And we already have products which are addressing this question and starting to gain traction in the market. Thank you, Edu. The next one is from Victor, a individual investor. Victor Learning has an over specialized, what's the rationale of this incorporation? This is Mafra here. It's a very important role. There are partners, a company needing to make a jump of technology in its product. I think it's supplied this demand and start and continue supplying. And they're bringing people in the company here. And today they're in ClearSale and they're helping us with the developments that we need to do and which need to be done in our systems. The incorporation of Beta, Beta as a company, a separate company, continue to selling to ClearSale everything that they developed. But when you incorporate it, you have big advantage, three principal advantages. One, I take advantage of the goodwill for a tax advantage, which is very important for the reduction of our income tax burden. You get rid of this double taxation because people in clear cell become the final users, and we're not going to be, they're not going to be billing clear cell. You have a capture of synergies, an administrative capture, synergy capture, which is also very important. These are the three principal points that led us to incorporate Beta into our company. Mafre, before going to the next question, just reminding you that the button on the left-hand side of the chat, please send the buttons. Your question is there, and we'll answer as quickly as possible. The next question of Felipe, who is an individual investor, looking at intelligence, artificial intelligence in the business world. For example, frauds with insurance and health plans. Felipe, we, first of all, I would like to remind everyone is that ClearCell is a company which was born as the with the intensive use of data and analytics in all of its processes, using techniques, diverse techniques, among them artificial intelligence, so that we can foresee fraud in our processes. Myself, I am now the CEO of the company and joined the company, and I was trained as a statistician. It's part of our DNA and our use of data in an intensive way so that we can make the decisions for our business. I would like to bring two parts of your question. The first is artificial intelligence has evolved greatly, and so ClearCell has to always be one step ahead, working with the new technologies. We have a team today focused on looking at how we can apply artificial intelligence in our day-to-day, and also look at three major fronts. One front was looks for productivity, the productivity of a developer who starts using the process, the system process, more efficient, more agile in the way that he does his business, and the way the productivity of someone who manipulates data, spreadsheets, and which can be much more efficient and productive in his day-to-day. So I think on one side, that's the most common where we work. And on the second side, we've also sought several projects where we can try to have the best experience for our final user. How can they use it? Do an integration of the ClearCell tools into their system to take how to take away a doubt about a question and assist it in faster ways. So the second front that we'll be launching products quickly, shortly. And the next in our core is how do we create components, technological components, so that we can use our ecosystem for decisions. For instance, I like to say we have risk managers who make decisions to include a rule or a block a certain profile in the day-to-day. With the use of AI, we can be more efficient and more assertive so that we create components which will make this more faster, better, and more intuitive, and more agile, this process. And we worked a great deal on this side in that direction. When we do this with our partners, these big tech partners, they support us greatly, and we're partners with many of them. We're looking at we're working tightly with each one of them. Answering your question, we talk about health insurance and insurance fraud. As we have in our whole business, new ventures business, a thesis that we seek out to orchestrate our products for betting, we also have a thesis that we're in the process of discovering, which will try to seek out ways to orchestrate our competitors for health products. We know it's a huge market where fraud, the chain is being challenged from the standpoint of profitability, and fraud is one of the important factors in this market. So we believe that we have capacity to help. We know clearly that these health plans demand an understanding of the segment. But they're looking for partners to evolve in this segment, and it's one of our bets for this year, so that we can look greatly at this year and make material changes in the next few cycles. So having answered all of the questions that have arrived here, we're going to close our question and answers. I'm going to hand it back to our directors for their final considerations. Thank you, Felipe. From my side here, I want to once again thank you for all of your presence in this results call. It's very special because it's the closing of a year, a cycle in the calendar. where we continue working hard to do what we call doing the right thing, making the year of coming out of that difficult market moment, transforming the company and seeking to be more and more scalable, profitable, seeking a company that's more efficient, diverse, and with much more scalability through our differentials in data, technology, and our specialty in risk, which can and should be applicated in the numerous segments of the market. We've spoken about some opportunities, but there are many others. And we have found a way forward, a journey that we have done consistently over this trajectory, seeking in the medium to long term, sustainable growth, healthy growth, always seeking a company to be efficient and then will grow profitably. Thank you all to have the opportunity to talk to you about more explicitly what we've been working on for quite a while. And we're now defining this and showing you this plan, because this is what's going to generate all of the growth that ClearSale seeks and deserves in the next few years. Okay, thank you all very much. Until the next quarter.